In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the fifth Sunday of the blessed month of Baba, and that's why every fifth Coptic month we hear the passage about the blessing of the five loaves and the two fish. And this miracle, we heard it often, and we know it by heart. But you will be surprised that when you present this passage to the people, people will draw different conclusions and will learn things differently. Some people maybe will look at it and say, God cares about us. He takes care even of our materialistic needs, even the food. Some people will look at it and say, this means that I don't have to work, God will take care of us. I don't have to exert effort, it is enough that I trust Him and then He will provide. Some will look at the passage and have this kind of cynical approach, doubting if this ever happened, and maybe this is exaggeration, maybe the Bible is not telling the truth, maybe you don't have to believe the whole thing written in the Bible. What matters today is why we see things differently, why we have different opinions about things that might look straightforward. Even a person like Christ, no one would doubt whom this man is, how great, how amazing his works were. But at the same time, unfortunately, you find people saying that this man is a deceiver to the nation. So what we are going to talk maybe today, and maybe the next time I will give the English sermon, will be about what influences our thoughts, our minds. There is an expression, you might see it sometimes when you drive your car, saying that you cannot afford the DUI, driving under influence. Meaning, if you drive under the influence of drugs or alcohol, this might get you in trouble, you might crash, get an accident. If you are caught, you will lose your license. It is serious to drive a car under influence of a substance. More serious and dangerous if you lead a life, you live under the influence of something. I'm not speaking only about being under the influence of substance. This is the least we talk about it today. We do not know that we are leading our lives led by an influence. That's why we have a crisis, a mind crisis. You wonder sometimes what this person was thinking when he decided to do this. What this girl exactly had in mind to do what she did. There is no reason, nothing makes sense, and then you come to the conclusion, this mind that made this decision was under influence. So today, this is what we are going to discuss and we reflect on. The crisis of the mind while living under influence. There is a compass in your brain, and this compass gets you to go in a certain direction. You might know it, but you will feel based on the kind of decisions you make. You will find yourself, you are leaning towards this direction. Always, whenever I think, I decide, I get into this place. Influences, we can categorize them into two main groups. The external influence, and we'll talk about it in a minute, and the internal influence. Not all of the influences are from outside. We are also influenced by things we believe in. We acquire for ourselves and we believe is true. And we decide and we value things according to these internal influences. What are the external influences and why we should be aware and pay attention to them? Look at the picture in front of you. On the left, there is a small boy, a young boy, maybe 4 or 5, is playing maybe piano or something. He dressed decently and he is talented. On the other side, there is this kind of pants that people go and buy it from the stores, even though they can do it at home. It's easy, just a cut, a pant, and what do we call these two people? In my time, we call the boy on the left, talented, decent. And I don't have a name that I can share it with you in the sermon about this. But what do we call this now? We call this boy on the left what? Nerd. Right? And we call the one on the right cool. So what exactly the message that comes to us? Our children, they grow, they see this. So whenever you suggest for them even to dress decently, you say, I don't want to look nerd. And when he picks something like this band, and say that this is what everybody is dressed as. Look how the influence is. So later on, the values of decency, being neat, just something that basic, is altered because of the influence that of the culture around us. I remember a story that was told to me by one of the church children when he was in college. That one day, when they entered the class for the first time, the instructor, he said, my name is so-and-so, I will teach you this, and I am gay. So what happened is, the students, they uploaded to him. This man received even a standing ovation from some. What is the message? This is good, it's acceptable. Not only so, this is wonderful. When you find the CEO of companies, big companies, corporate America, speaking about the gift of being a gay or a lesbian. So what the culture influences us with? This is not only acceptable, this is a gift to live this. The Bible says it's a sin, it's an abomination, something that if you don't repent, you perish with it. The culture says this is a normal variant. This is acceptable, this is good, no problem with it. That's why when we come at how we balance the influence, if we just read the news around us, if this is what we are exposed to every day, then no wonder when people make foolish decisions and they perish with it, at the end of the day, they were under the influence of the culture that taught them things that are perverted, things are upside down, and we go with it, because this is what everyone around us is saying. An occasion like the Halloween, it's mental illness in its like utmost manifestation. That I celebrate death, or I put the images of these like spirits and say this is fun. Let me ask you a question. If once a person decided to put a mask of Bin Laden and walks with it in the street, how the people are going to perceive this? They will be offended. Why? He's a symbol of death. Why we are not offended to see one dressed as a Satan or dressed as an evil spirit, and we get offended because we see a symbol of hatred and death? What is the difference? The difference is we can relate and we can remember what this man did, Bin Laden, but when it comes to death, the enemy of man, it is cool. And our children, they feel like, why we cannot share in the occasion? We will walk in the parade dressed as angels, walking behind Satan, celebrating his night. The external influence also is what I call as the mind stealers. This is now, I think, the focus of the world that we live in. That the people will be deprived from their minds, and their minds are taken away by many things. One of them is this visual stimuli. We see things all the day, images after images. That's why it is very hard to go back and focus in the words of the Bible, just seeing there's no pictures in the Bible. This is boring. I don't want to read the Bible because simply I cannot follow the lines. My attention now is only for images. If you give me an image, I will pay attention. Any lesson now is boring. Anything that's like more than a couple of sentences, I cannot focus with. Another thing is the substance. And the substance abuse now is not only about alcohol or about drugs that we know and in the list. There are hundreds, thousands of things. The world will never end or come to an end for inventing new substances that can steal the mind away. And the behavioral addictions, sex addiction and gambling, all of these are mind stealers. When we are under this influence, your compass is set only to seek to find this. This is what I am trained to do. This is my only focus, my only thing that I care about. And also, of course, the famous communication technologies, the phones and what is presented on the phone, and the iPads and iPod and and then at the end of the day, I have nothing left in my mind to think, to analyze, to decide on my own. It is what I see, what is communicated to me, and that's all. The third external influence is the parents. This influence should be a good one. Look at the picture here, it looks familiar. A mom begging her daughter or son, I don't remember, her daughter, yes, just to do something that's basic. We see this happening. We unfortunately get like involved in things like this. We beg our children when they are young, when they are still under our authority, just to do what is acceptable, what is good for them. What do we instill in their minds? They are gods. Then whatever I say goes. It is about me being happy. My parents are my servants, not only my parents. The whole world around me should serve my desires. If I go to the church and someone says to me something I didn't like, I run to my parents deal with the teacher. If in my school I get a bad grade, of course it's not my fault. It is the teacher like ignorance. My parents will go and have a talk with the teacher to adjust my grades. If I don't like the food, the parents just go around themselves trying to find what is pleasing to this God. Now, we put in their heart the seed of corruption. When they grow later and they have accidents with their lives and their relationships, when they cannot maintain relationship, we have nobody else to blame except ourselves. It is how we raise them. It's a style. It made a great influence. Another style is to be so harsh, no talking, nothing, you cannot share anything. At the end of the day, I also instill in the heart of this child a sense of rebellion. I don't like you, not like anybody. And I grow in my life, I am just in a shell. I want to protect myself from the outside world. Others are just enemies. All of these kind of influences, we as parents should be aware what exactly are we doing to ourselves and our children. Another major external influence is religion. Well, how this person was raised, which kind of thought belief system was communicated, what did he practice when he was a child? When now our children grow in a community that says, if you believe in Jesus, just to believe, say, I believe, I am saved. You don't have to worry about your salvation, it is done. What exactly are we communicating to them? It's exactly like saying to one of the kids, at the beginning of the year, you passed the year. You had the full mark, and that's it. Can you kindly please study and do your very best? Why should I do this? I'm already done. I have my grades. I passed the test. I am saved. Why should I struggle? Why should I resist temptations? Why should I do anything I don't like? And then the cost of salvation is just what? Few words. What do we call this? It's a heresy. It has no other name. This leads people astray more than even the other influences that we spoke about. So these are examples of external influences that can shape our behavior, how we live, what we do, how we decide. But these, sometimes we don't have control over them. They are whatever they are. Let us go into the internal influences, and I will talk about six of them. The first one is the influence of emotions. If I love something, if I love someone, anything comes from this person is acceptable and it is good and it is wonderful. This is just because I love this person. Sometimes these emotions take the form of like some kind of deviation. So we call lust love. I have lustful like thoughts about this person. Then I see this person as the most magnificent person ever. He is wonderful. Yes, he doesn't think straight. He has a problem with his responsibilities. He fails in everything he does, but he has a wonderful heart. Why we do this? Why we say this? Simply because my eyes are clouded. My mind is influenced. I have emotions, and these emotions is not allowing me to see things right. For Samson, looking at Delilah, she was the greatest person. He went to her once and twice and thrice. She was asking him, what exactly could be done to you to inflict harm on you? And he thought this is some kind of like joking and we are just playing around. What happened to you, Samson, the judge of Israel? He was under the influence of emotions. As lust is an emotion, hatred is another emotion that also disturbs the way we see and we value things. Saul hated David. He went after him from a city to another city. Anything comes from David is wrong. Any good thing comes from this little man is not good. No matter what, I will always seek to hurt and kill David. Sometimes we move with the influence of hatred inside our hearts. I don't like this person. That's it. This is the end. I don't like my in-laws. Whatever happened from them, even if I see one of them is like pouring oil and the other one is like flashing with light at night, I say, okay, the demons are working something in them. If I don't like, then everything is altered. Every behavior is interpreted according to the bitterness I have towards you. Nothing good will come from you whatsoever. We have to review ourselves if I am behaving, if I'm acting, if I'm living, because I'm influenced by emotion. Anger is another emotion. Some people, they walk in life angry, wrathful. No matter what, they are always upset. They always grumble. They always see negatives. They always feel entitled to things that are not granted to them. And with this anger, they destroy everyone, including themselves. They say hurt people who are hurt when they are young, they grow to hurt other people. If I live my life under the influence of a hurt from the past, I have to clear this. I have to expose it. I have to handle it. Otherwise, I would just be like going around hurting others. The unrestrained passions, another influence. When we go with it, we get an accident. And also the unsatisfied, unfulfilled emotions. If as a child, I miss my parents, I miss my dad, he's not around. This child can grow with a vacuum inside his heart. Something is missing. This can lead to some kind of trouble. Thank God all of these things are reversible. But if I don't see them, if I don't work on them, I don't know what is going to happen, what kind of accidents I will get myself in. So the first internal emotion, internal influence is emotion. The second one is insecurity. Deeply inside me, I am missing something. I feel I am not good enough. How this is reflected, how this leads the behavior, how this influences the person. Then we find this victim mentality. The easiest thing to manipulate others is to make them feel like, okay, you are not treating me well. Every gesture, every word, every remark is an insult. Why you are so sensitive? Simply the answer, I am insecure. Inside my heart, I have a problem, and everything I perceive it from the eyes of this insecurity. Then comes this sense of inferiority. Sense of inferiority is presented usually in the opposite. So this person always presents himself in a grandiose way. I am the best, I am the highest, my children are the best, my. Why you are so much like overwhelmed with yourselves? It's my insecurity. I just want to compensate it by getting the people admiration. And I seek it and I try to get it with whatever cost. Sometimes you feel a person is overdressed and doing things that looks bizarre. Why you want to do this? Just to get the attention. Why you want to get the attention? Because I'm insecure. Deeply inside my heart, I feel like no one will pay attention to me because of my personality or my heart or my mind. The only thing I have left is my body. Let me present it in a way that catches the attention of others. It's insecurity. This influence, also again a major one, an internal influence that gets us in trouble. And then comes from insecurity also, this desire to control others. Unless I control everything around me, I am not safe. Then nothing should go in my life around me. I don't have a saying about it. It has to go my way, or otherwise I am upset. I go in fights and I struggle. Why? What is the reason? Unless it goes like this, I feel not safe. Selfishness and the love of possessions is another manifestation of insecurity. I want to gather and collect everything to myself just to feel safe. The whole world should serve me because I'm not enough inside me. So they said the first major internal influence that works on our minds is emotions. The second one is insecurity. The third one is superficiality. I am content to be simple-minded. And simple here is not good, it is naive. People grow in their life, they don't care much about what they add here. Sometimes we also help our children this way. We care about what they ate. So this body gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's all. But what happened here? How do they think? How they analyze and how things and make decisions? What do they read? Do they learn at all? When they come to us from the church and saying, the lesson was boring, the first thing that comes to the mind of the parents, running to Abuna. Abuna, the Sunday school is boring. Okay. If I get a clown or a person with a monkey, this will get the attention of everyone. It's not going to be boring. But are we helping these children to grow something here? Do we care to add something to whatever inside the skull of our children? Sometimes I feel like if we make an X-ray or an MRI for the skull of some of the teens, I wonder what exactly will be inside here, if anything, at the end. What happened? Why we ended there? This superficiality influences the person and then how he acts. This kind of irrational thinking. You try to find the reason with this person, nothing. He speaks about, I felt, I heard, they told me. Okay, let us reason, nothing. The discussion is tiring. You don't get anywhere because there is no reason. It is how I feel. Because my friends are telling me. Is this a good reason for you to do this? To imitate that? Another manifestation of this superficiality is to be narrow-minded. See things like tunnel vision. It is how I see it. It is how it should be. I am not open to discuss other alternatives, or thinking maybe there is something else could be done to solve the situation. So those people, they come and say, it should be solved this way. Are you aware of everything? Do you know what's happening truly to come with this suggestion? Or Another manifestation, when we are led with superficiality, is growing superstitious. Unfortunately, sadly to say it, many of the people, the Coptic people, they are growing now under this, like, being big fans of miracles, to be superstitious. The miracle is the exception. The sign was not something welcomed by Christ. The people, when they came to him saying, can you do a sign for us? He rebuked them. He said, this is an evil generation asking for a sign. He did miracles. This was very individual based. He did it for a reason for this person. It cannot be applied as the norm. And then we grow with this kind of, every problem will be solved with a miracle. I am waiting for God to intervene with a miracle. Where is your attempts to solve? Where is your hard work? Where is your sacrifice to bring some kind of solution? I'm just waiting for God to make a miracle for me. This has no other name except I am living with a superficial mind, and that's it. So, and God, if he does not make the miracle, he has a problem then. God doesn't like us. Another manifestation of being influenced by superficiality is rejecting reason and learning. When it comes to learning, I'm not paying attention, I'm not interested. When it comes to fun, my eyes are open like this. When it comes to let us grow in knowledge, I have no patience. Whenever it is about doing anything that makes like fun, then I have all the time for it. Children, they leave the houses of their parents to go to colleges to learn. Instead, they turn it into an occasion for growing wild and having fun. And where this fun is going to lead us, what will happen afterwards? No answer. The reason is already put on the shelf. Superficiality also will be manifest itself by drawing the wrong conclusions. You read a story and then you understand it differently. The parents come and say, I am not going to say, I'll give you this. The conclusion by the child, you don't like me. Is it because I'm not giving you what you want? Then the conclusion, you don't like me? How we end up like this? Again, the mind was always very shallow. And when we come to conclusions like these, no wonder we are living under the influence of superficiality. The last thing, this is not the end of this of the subject, we'll continue this maybe in a couple of weeks. The fourth major internal influence is the convictions. المعتقدات اللي الواحد عايش بيها. What is the conviction? Conviction is what I believe as good, as acceptable, as helpful, as enough, as godly. This is what is going to lead me to heaven. We all have this kind of belief system. Christianity has a belief system. If you are Christian, you have your plate, and these are the kind of food on this plate. You cannot take more, you cannot take less. Now we live in the world where religion is like an open buffet. I have my plate, and then I pick something from the Bible, and I pick something from another religion, I pick something from the community, I pick something from my sense, or how I think, and this becomes the new edition of what I believe is Christianity. Who told you that this is enough or good or acceptable by God? It is what I believe. But you are not going to be the judge at the end of the time. You will stand before the judge. He will ask you about the book that he entrusted to you and me. God will never test the people according to what curriculum they studied themselves. He gave one curriculum. This is what at the end of the day we will be held accountable to. What kind of conviction do we embrace, do we live by? It doesn't make sense that I have my own belief system and I believe God will accept me because I believe this way. You are not God. You are not the judge. Imagine you come at the end of the year after your instructor gave you a book to study. And you tell him, you know what? I felt like this book is outdated and some of the instructions in it does not apply on this life. So I made for myself a reference and I came with a good one. Can you test me on the book that I studied for myself? What do you think your instructor will say to you? You know the answer. Why we expect God to do differently? God says that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and you drink His blood, you have no life in you. Very clear, very obvious. The church confirmed it. This is about communion. Then you find people saying, no, this is a symbol. This is not as it meant. The most important thing is to be a good person. Okay, fine. Where is this in the Bible? You have your own Bible. God is not going to yield because you choose the wrong book. Convictions are serious because they lead us, they influence our decisions. Unless they are true, we are just walking with a compass pointing away from Him. With these convictions, sometimes instead of believing what is rational, we rationalize what we believe. What do I mean by this? There are facts, there are laws in nature, and there are certain things that God gave as rational, reasonable. What a reasonable person would do, I believe this, because God said that. But on the other hand, because we live in an age that everything is reversed, I have a belief system and I rationalize it. Like what? Like people who say that homosexuality is acceptable. This is not biblical. This is not the reason in the Bible. So we say it and I rationalize it this way. God is loving. He accepts everyone. And accordingly, He will accept even the people who are living with this kind of lifestyle. What did I do now? Instead of believing what is rational, what is lawful, what is acceptable, I rationalize what is irrational and I make it to make sense. So this makes me feel like, okay, I can live like this. This is what I mean by living under influence. If driving under influence can get us in accidents on the road, living under influences gets us every day in accidents in our lives and will lead us at the end, God forbid, to the biggest accident ever when we stand before God and we find that all of these things led us astray from Him. So today we spoke about external influences and internal influences. The external spoke about cultural values, the mind stealers, parents, styles of upbringing, and religious beliefs and practices. Internal influences, we spoke about emotions, about insecurity, superficiality, and convictions. Next time, we'll speak about two other major internal influences, the ego and the beloved sin, and then we'll talk about the effect of living under influence. And the last point will be the way to freedom from these negative influences. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.